Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. If you're listening via our new Radio Plus iPhone app, did you know you can browse through recent podcasts according to show, or you can sort by companies discussed, even by the name of the guests? If you don't have the Radio Plus iPhone app yet, you'll want to download it. It's free via the iTunes App Store.
Julia Coronado. She is with BNP Paribas, the chief North American economist. Dr. Coronado, good morning.
Good morning to you, Tom.
I remember Chairman Greenspan suggesting anything above 2% was a good number. What does good productivity mean? Does it mean fewer jobs?
Well, it did mean fewer jobs in the second quarter, and that's part of why the number was so strong. So we kind of want to smooth through the first two quarters. Remember, the first quarter was incredibly weak. It was negative because of the strong job growth. We know some of that was a seasonal swing. On an annual basis, productivity is rising 1.2%. Still very respectable, probably closer to the underlying trend.
What do we see on Friday morning, Julia?
Well, I think we're going to see a softer number than we saw last month. The 163 that we saw was a bounce back, again, a payback from some of those exceedingly weak numbers we had seen. But if you look at the broad scope of economic numbers, they're not really suggesting very strong growth, maybe two-ish or something slightly below. So we really shouldn't see job growth much above 100 to 120K. And that's what we're expecting, actually, on Friday.
Julia, you framed a very cautious view of the economy, I'm going to say a year ago, maybe 8 months ago. Where is that now? You had an outright, not recession call, but a negative GDP call for one quarter at one point. Where does BNP Paribas stand now?
Well, I think, you know, what we did see last fall, again, was greater resiliency than we had feared, and that was a welcome development. But we also are seeing that it's really difficult for the U.S. economy to gain a lot of strong momentum. So looking ahead, it's hard to see what's going to really propel growth to a stronger level. We've got, you know, the consumer, again, being really pretty stable, not cautious. Yes, but not easily tipped over. So consumer spending is running a right around 2%, and they seem to be just rock solid at that pace. But investment is what's been worrisome lately, with all of the uncertainties around the fiscal cliff, around Europe, around the Chinese slowdown. Businesses are just in a wait-and-see mode, and that had been a strong spot. So that's a little bit of a worrisome development.
Julia, how long are we stuck here? You know, 2% growth, 8% unemployment?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, that's the question that the Fed is grappling with. They're trying to decide whether they have the tools, in fact, to do anything about this. And I think what we heard from Chairman Bernanke on Friday morning was that they do think they have some tools to help this, at least help keep financial markets well supported and growth on track, if not actually propel us to a higher above trend pace. I think we need to get the election behind us. I think we need to get those uncertainties resolved, and I think we need Europe to make better progress on their political issues to resolve those uncertainties.
Well, there are a lot of uncertainties out there, and we go up to this wall of economic data. You go to the real economy. I noticed Finland, I believe, with a negative GDP statistic, are really pulling it back. Germany, there's some challenges there is well. Where's the IMF going to click this down? If they have to come out with their forecast and they've had a spotty record at that, do they come down a few tenths of a percent on G7 GDP, or is it greater than that?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't know where they'll come out, but it's certainly in terms of what the IMF puts as a global recession. We're getting pretty close to those numbers. With what's going on in Europe, which is clearly a recession, what's going on in China, which is well below what we would consider trend for China. And I guess that's the real question, is we don't know what trend global growth is right now. In a world where China can't grow off exports to the U.S. and Europe, what is trend growth? We just don't know right now.
Julia, to the jobs report and to the raging debate of Jackson Hole and before, is our lousy job economy, is it a structural or cyclical issue?
Well, I think clearly there are elements of both. There is certainly, there are industries that are still shrinking, construction, finance, that will not return to their prior size anytime soon, nor should they. There are mismatches of skills, certainly, because workers are having to change industries. But there's a lot of cyclical unemployment right now. There's unemployment across every region of the country, across every sector in the economy. Wages are decelerating across sectors. All of these things speak to a pretty big cyclical component.
Tell me if I did right. I was sitting there with an offspring this weekend, one issue decades ago, and the offspring stated, what's the most important thing that I feel better? And I just told her, I said, 50 basis points of GDP. And am I right in that the number one metric for voters and Americans in general is we got to get back to a 3% economy?
We do. I mean, that's the only real way to bring this unemployment down is to have stronger growth. And there are a number of things going on that make it make that difficult to achieve. And of course, our fiscal policymakers certainly are not doing their part to either resolve uncertainties or put in sensible growth stimulating policies. And so that leaves the Fed holding the bag. Their tools are very blunt. They seem willing to do what they can, and that will certainly help at the margin. We're not sure exactly how much, but we have to get back to a 3-ish% growth rate to see that unemployment rate come down pretty meaningfully.
What do you see in the labor market, Julia, that puts you in the cyclical camp rather than the structural camp?
How broad-based the weakness is. I mean, it's not just a matter of a few industries or a few regions that are experiencing high unemployment. It's really everywhere. It's at every skill level. It's in every industry. There's just a lot of well-qualified, experienced people who are willing and able to work and just can't find jobs. And that says that it's a broader issue of demand. And that's not surprising. We are in a deleveraging cycle, and that's a macroeconomic thing. That's not an industry-specific thing. That limits our ability to get out of this quickly. Well, we're repairing our balance sheets. It's going to take some time.
Well, okay, that's all nice chat, and I believe you're out of Jackson Hole fighting off grizzly bears.
I was.
But if you look at the different papers, and Ken and I are trying to get beyond Jackson Hole, there's a raging debate among PhDs like yourself over what to do. What is the Coronado summary that this central bank or any other central bank can take away from this confab?
Well, look, I think Chairman Bernanke said it very well. It shouldn't really just be about monetary policy. If we could get fiscal policy in the mix, we could achieve much greater things. But unfortunately, the political reality is that we aren't likely to get clear or good fiscal policy anytime soon. So the Fed is left doing what it can do. Well, it's not great shakes. It can support financial market conditions. That does help growth. Certainly, that's working very well in the corporate sector. We're expecting record corporate bond issuance this month. So at the margin, big corporations are able to fund themselves at very low costs, and they're going to invest and hire a bit more than they would if they couldn't do that. But tight credit standards are holding back the housing market. Households are still trying to repair their balance sheets. So it's not a perfect antidote, and it's just not going to not going to work quickly. It's going to take some time.
What's it going to take for housing standard or more loan standards to ease up a little bit, Julia? I mean, we have plenty of evidence that home prices are more than stabilized. They're actually starting to move up in some parts of the country. So that means if the bank gives you a mortgage, your house is not going to be worth less 2 years from now.
And I think that's huge. I mean, I think if that continues and we get a broad stability and maybe even some, I don't even think we need that much upward momentum in home prices. If banks become convinced that home values are stable, and that will probably take, again, probably 6 to 12 months of this, what we've been seeing in housing lasting and persisting and weathering these ups and downs in GDP. If we really have seen a stabilization in home values, then I think we will see those standards start to loosen because banks can lend with confidence that that asset has a solid, knowable value.
Julia, just out on Twitter, Jed Coco, who works with Trulia, the internet housing website, His tweet is housing market 34% back to normal. I sort of like that because that really shows how far we have to go. Folks, that's something we hear from Professor Case and Professor Schiller. Yeah, it's better, but we got a long way. Forget about the boom. We got a long way to get back to normal, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, right now we have a housing market that's very, still very imbalanced between demand and supply. Just very tepid demand, lots of supply. It's a buyer's market. It's a lender's market. They can pick and choose what they want to do. And that means that activity and price appreciation is just going to be very sluggish. But we're moving in the right direction. So, you know, we'll work through this excessive supply. We'll get to better, a little bit easier credit standards. And then we'll see better dynamics. But again, this is not going to be a quick fix, and there's not much, there's not a magic policy wand for that problem.
Well, I like your magic policy wand for the president. That would be a 7.9% unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Is the president going to visit sub 8% unemployment rate before November? It's tomorrow, isn't it?
I don't think we're going to get below 8% before November. I mean, certainly with the economy growing at the pace it seems to be growing, we would be more likely to see the unemployment rate tick up than to move lower. You know, right now, we're very much treading water in growth, in the labor market. You know, we're at 8.3% unemployment. Mm. That's where we started the year. We haven't changed at all. So we're just kind of really holding steady.
Right. Julia, thank you so much. What a great update. Thank you. Greatly appreciate your interest.
Listen to Bloomberg Surveillance weekday mornings at 7 Eastern on Bloomberg 1130 in New York or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2012.